Do you want to launch a profitable podcast? Before we get into this episode, I wanted to let you know about my free virtual event called the Profitable Podcasting Summit. It currently has over 20 speakers and we continuously add to the summit experience. So you may see 30, 40, 50, even more speakers when you go over there. You'll learn exactly how you can launch, grow, and monetize your very own podcast at this summit. And you can get your free ticket to this virtual event over at profitablepodcastingsummit.com, which will be in the show notes. Anyways, let's get right into the episode. What's up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Bird, the podcasting coach here, helping people launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts. And there is a formula out there for business success, the B plus C plus S formula. Stands for brand, culture, and strategy. So we're going to talk about how to harness this formula in order to grow your business coming up in this episode. The guest who joins us today, he is an independent business consultant who started Bader Training and Consulting Incorporated, where they offer sales training, hospitality consulting, strategic planning services, and a lot more. Our guest wrote a book based on the B plus C plus S formula, which is a unique approach to management consulting that has a focus on brand, culture, and strategy alignment. Our guest for this episode of Breakthrough Success is none other than Ken Bader. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Love being here.
Ken, I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success and definitely looking forward to this conversation. Before we jump in, though, I'd love to just get some background and a little bit of insight. So can you share with us how you first came across the B plus C plus S formula and a little bit of background on you as well?
Sure, Mark. Yeah, it's because, as I joked when we met, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, you know, so I had to come up with something in business to help me figure it out. You know, I went through all the way to an MBA program at DePaul University in Chicago. Shout out to the Blue Demons. And it certainly got decent grades, but I wasn't one of those guys that could, you know, read the book for 5 minutes and then walk into a midterm without studying, get an A+. You know, I had to work weeks and weeks and weeks on getting good grades and working hard. And when I was in the corporate world, I was a VP of marketing and business development for a $4 billion financial institution in the Chicagoland area where I'm originally from. And when I was there working my way up to that management level, I wanted to be a sponge. So I jumped around from seminars on empowerment and books on reengineering and articles on Six Sigma and all that stuff. And I thought, you know, this is all great, but, you know, how does this all kind of fit together like a puzzle? You know, for instance, what if I wanted to do reengineering and empower my people? And so the long and short of it, you know, after really digging in and thinking about it, you know, I came up with the idea that, you know, everything comes down to branding, culture building, and strategy. In other words, we got to answer these three questions in practically any business. Is what is the image we want to promote out in the public? What is the experience we need to create both for and through our employees? And how do we drive more of the right business to our business? Brand, culture, strategy. And for me, that was the formula that kept it all straight in my head, and I use it with my clients now.
And I mean, brand, culture, strategy, those three things being very important for any business. For people who they may feel like, you know, this is really good stuff, but for people who don't have this stuff written in stone yet, or they're not sure what they are, they just have a vague idea of what their brand, culture, strategy is, what's your suggestion for people to figure out where they want to stand in those areas and being able to cultivate that kind of experience?
Well, other than the obvious, which is coming to me and doing our B plus C plus S audit, yeah, my suggestion is you really dig in deep of, you know, what is your unique story? Yeah, at the end of the day, you know, branding seems a little bit nebulous. People confuse it with marketing and so forth. But, you know, really think about, you know, what's my unique story when it comes to branding? For instance, a very, very brief example. One of the service-based business industries I do a lot of work in is the financial industry, bank, credit unions, financial advisors, so forth. And especially with banks and credit unions, you know, they want to brand themselves by product. They want to talk about, oh, we got this great rate. You know, oh, we got this terrific checking account. Oh, we got this special loan. And 99% of the time, the stuff that they offer is the same stuff that thousands of other banks offer. You know, what the real brand is isn't the rate. It isn't the product. What the brand is their unique story of how they uniquely serve their people, how they create an experience for a particular niche. Maybe it's a community bank for a particular community. Maybe it's a credit union that serves specifically police or teachers. But that's really the brand, your unique story of how you serve this group better than anybody else can. From a culture standpoint, you know, the big tip that I always give, and if your audience is a service-based business of any kind, if you don't take anything else away from this other than this tip, you've definitely spent your time right on this podcast, is the biggest tip is implement service standards. And implement service standards from the organization chart foundation up. You have to have your people on the front lines create them, because then there's buy-in. And then you really, when you do that exercise and you get people involved to create service standards, and what I mean by a service standard are phrases like, we will answer the phone within 3 rings. We will greet the customer as he walks in the door within the first 3 seconds. We'll resolve problems within 24 hours. When you have staff, not the owner or the CEO, create those, not only do you have instant buy-in, but from a culture standpoint, when you do that exercise, you really begin seeing where the cracks and the issues in your morale, in your culture are. And from a strategy standpoint, to me, it comes down to goal setting. Granted, there's more to it than that, but a lot of times from a strategy standpoint, what I suggest to clients is many times we want to do more things than we can handle. Again, a quick example, I had a client that came to me for strategic planning, had 22 goals for the prior year. And they sent me a copy of the whole thing. It was like 2.5 pages. And I asked, well, how many of these goals did you actually achieve? And they says, well, you know, really none, maybe one. So what I try to do is help my clients hone down to 3, at maximum 4 goals, because I believe that that's where we get our ultimate efficiency, when we can have that focus on 3 or 4 most important things throughout the year for our business. So those are the things that I really suggest to anybody that wants to go a little bit deeper on their own into their brand, their culture, and their strategy.
And plenty of great insights there. I mean, if we focus on 22 goals, then it's going to be really hard for us to accomplish any of those goals, because each goal requires a certain amount of our attention. And it's better to get 3 or 4 of your top goals than to really be scattered with 22 and end up with 1 or none accomplished. So I like the idea. I mean, that's a great idea for everyone listening. Really have fewer goals. And also, when it comes to creating that experience for some people, I mean, you can hire someone and you can have staff help create those experiences for your customers. If it's just you,
absolutely,
then you should also be creating those experiences for your customers, because that's going to be something that the big boys can't do. Like, if you're looking at, like, you know, we'll throw a big company like Apple, because Apple's a ridiculously big company. Like, Tim Cook isn't at the desk, like, answering your questions. It's someone else. And that's just because of the type of scale Apple has, because Tim Cook can't be in all the Apple stores at the same time. It's just impossible. But if you're smaller, use that to your advantage and really build deep experiences with the people in your audience. That's a great way to build up quickly by really loving the current people in your audience if you're a little smaller right now.
Exactly. You hit on the key word, experience. I talk about branding the experience all the time. It's the name of my YouTube show. It's even more important, frankly, for small service-based businesses. Because when you think about it, you know, a product-based business like Apple, like you mentioned, which is a perfect example of a great product brand. You know, people are going to buy the iPhone and the iPad and you know, the iToilet and everything else and stand in line for it. You know, as long as it continues to provide the experience for the customers that buy it. But if they have a bad experience at an Apple store, they probably wouldn't. But say they have a bad experience at the Apple store, they're not going to stop buying iPhones. They'll just go to Best Buy or T-Mobile or Verizon and get their phone. They're still going to use the product because the experience revolves around the product. For service-based businesses who I work with and who I think really, really can benefit from the B plus C plus S formula, that branding the experience is so important. A bank, a restaurant, a hair salon, a spa, places where, you know what, you pretty much, your service itself is pretty much a commodity, what you're offering, but the experience is what keeps people coming back. You know, I use the banking example. You know, people can get a checking account anyway. They bank at places that make them feel comfortable. A better example is restaurants. You know, restaurants, some restaurant owners think it's all about the food. And certainly part of it is the food. I mean, you can't serve slop to people. You know, you have to at least serve, you know, halfway decent food that tastes decent enough for people to want to put down a few bucks and eat it. But I'll tell you, I've seen places that offer an awesome experience, meaning that the tables are where they should be, the ambiance is perfect, the music is great, the TVs are right where they need to be, the service experience is great from hostess to waitress to bartender, all that's great. And the food is very average, but people keep coming back because it's a great experience. There are restaurants where I have had awesome meals, some of the best meals I ever had, and I will never, ever go back because the tables were on top of each other. We got bad service. The service was slow. The TVs didn't work, whatever it is. So that experience that you talked about, Mark, is so key.
Yeah, and I mean, just to bring up restaurants, great example, because there's a restaurant that I go to a few times each year. Not in my area. It's more of like one of those restaurants that's in one of my vacation spots. But I go to this restaurant every time because like my family and I, we've been like going there for like several years straight. So like we know the whole staff, we've been able to see the chef. Like every year we go there, we see the chef, we talk with her for a little bit. And that's like, you don't get that kind of an experience as a new customer at like a restaurant. Like that's that kind of high level experience where like all the staff knows you, saying hi to you and stuff like that. It's like those kinds of experiences are part of the reason we come back to that place, not just for the food. Like the food there is amazing, but it is the experience. It is part of that family feel. And I do want to bring up restaurants again, because one of the things that I heard, I've never been to this particular restaurant, but there was a restaurant that they had like a restaurantpreneur come in, fix it up and transform the place. But then like a few months later, it was same old place. So I think one of the things that we should address is when you were talking about like the B plus C plus S formula, you can come in or someone could do like a self-analysis and figure it out. But let's say like someone like you comes in and fixes the place up and we have the B plus C plus S formula flowing. How do we actually continue to implement it and act by those standards, like after someone like Ken has left or like months later after we came up with something ourselves?
Yeah, that's an awesome question, Mark. It all comes down to the C in that B plus C plus S formula and my aforementioned number one tip, service standards. If you can enhance the culture and use those service standards to create buy-in and make sure that you use them on a daily basis, adhere to them, support them, celebrate them. Yeah, you know, that is the key to keeping that transformation going. You know, case in point, the one particular restaurant that I was thinking of when I was giving that example of average food but a great experience, you know, is actually a restaurant that I don't frequent that much anymore. because the culture wasn't quite there. They had a great staff, they had a great chef and everything else. The food was slightly above average, but yeah, the culture changed. They fired the chef. Few people just didn't like the owner anymore, and they went for other jobs. You know, literally now, the only time I go in there is I have one very good friend that it remains, that is the bar manager. I'll go in there specifically once a month or once every couple weeks just to see him. If he's on an off day, I won't go in. But the other place that is actually exchanged or took the place of the other place, which is in our neighborhood. It's a little bit of a chain, but it's a small chain. You know, everything is consistent over there. You know, I only usually order three or four things on the menu, but they're always the same. They're always good. I see, you know, 80% of the time, I see all the same people working there, the same manager, the same waitresses, the same bartenders. And you know what? And I get the same experience every single time. And it's always right there at about an 8, an above average. And an 8 is good enough as long as it's 8 every time. You know, to the point where I walk in, it's like, cheers. You know, I see the bartender. She's already making my favorite drink. She doesn't even have to ask. And it's when you're adhering to the service standards where you know, okay, this is how we serve our people here and each other. This is the consistency for our service business. That's how you keep transformation keeping going well after, you know, Gordon Ramsay or Bar Rescue or me or any of us guys ever leave.
And you bring up a really great point. Like, you're attracted to a restaurant or a company because of certain people who are there. And I mean, if you liked high school, I know this is a bit of a wild card because I know some people loved it, some people didn't. Like, I personally loved high school. And the thing is, though, I wouldn't want to go back right now because, like, if I went back to my same high school, I don't know anybody there anymore. But when I was there as a student, I knew all the students there. So that's certainly a part, like, feeling that, like, you belong here, you're welcome. Like, the high school still welcomed me, obviously. But, I mean, like, it's a different vibe when you still have all these same people who have been there for several years. Like, that restaurant I mentioned, a lot of people have still been there for, like, 5 years, 10 years, even more than that. And I mean, I know some people listening, they don't have staff, but you could create a similar type of experience by doing some of the things you say you're going to do, like how I come out with Breakthrough Success episodes on the podcast every Monday and Sunday, Radio Sunday, Wednesday. It's things like that, like being consistent and always like providing that great experience, like me interviewing someone like Ken and both of us sharing great insights and both of us coming together to provide this great experience. And you keep doing that and keep on showing up in a way that your audience has already come to know, like trust. That's how you create that effect for your own business.
Yes. Yeah. And you made another great point, Mark, about what I call the army of one. You have people that are, they're the only employee of their business, but two things. One, it's so much easier to implement the B+C+S formula when it is just yourself at first, because you can control your culture. You can control your consistency. Yeah, it's not just, you know, let's roll the ball out there and see what happens today, where, you know, I show up to one client meeting 5 minutes late. I show up to another client meeting 10 minutes early. Yeah, one of my service standards is I will always be on time or early for every appointment, period. You came up on the calendar for our meeting for this podcast, you know, at 5 minutes till I was logging in on the Zoom because I didn't want to have you waiting for me. And that's not an exception. That's the norm for me. When people don't see that I'm there on time, they know something must have happened because that's just not me. So you can create that consistency, you know, right from the start as an army of one. And the other thing that I like to point out, you know, even if you're the sole employee, even if you are that solopreneur, you know, you still in some way, shape, or form have a team around you. And I'll give a shout out to Steve Olscher in New Media Summit where we met Mark. Yeah, as he mentioned during that conference, none of the folks that worked with him on his team for that 3-4 day event was a direct employee of his. They were all independent contractors with their own business or worked for another business. But I will tell you, you know, he had that team working, you know, as a well-oiled machine because he treated them with respect. He treated them like part of his team for that period. And so even if you are a solopreneur, you know, remember that the team that you have around you, your website developer, your social media person, your accountant and so forth, they're still part of your team and part of your internal culture. And it's important to have a positive attitude, not just attitude, but a positive morale among that team.
Yeah, and it is good you bring up the New Media Summit. Steve Ulster, I mean, he does a great job with that each 6 months, one in fall, one in spring. And I mean, just consistency and experience. Those are the two key themes of this episode and what you can be doing to really accelerate your business and get more, not just more customers, but more customers who buy multiple products from you. So really incredible insights in this episode. For anyone who wants to follow you, Ken, and see your work, where are some good places we can go?
You're the best place by far is to just simply go to my website, which is www.btcinc.net. Again, that's B as in boy, T as in Tom, C as in cat, inc.net. There's a wealth of free information on there, from my YouTube, from my podcast, to articles. You can even sign up for a free ebook and get on my email list. I send an email every week with brand culture strategy info on it. If you want to connect with me, the best place to do that is on LinkedIn. That's my social media platform of choice. I'm always on there, and that's just simply linkedin.com/in/KenBader, all one word. So you can easily find me there. Whether you go to my website or find me on LinkedIn or some other platform, I'm always willing to do 20-minute strategy sessions that are complimentary. They're not sales calls. And I always give like an article like on service standards or branding or something like that to the guests on the strategy session. So even if you don't work with me after that, you've got at least a couple valuable tips. But most of the time, if you're a service-based owner, you want to work with me. And I usually want to work with you too.
Ken, thank you for sharing all of those resources. They will be in the show notes. Also throw in markbird.com/strategy for anyone who wants to talk with me about starting, growing, making money with a podcast, or decoding YouTube. So that link will be in there as well. But once again, Ken, thank you so much for coming on Breakthrough Success. It was such a pleasure having you on the show.
My pleasure. Great talking to you, and best to your audience. I know that they're going to have breakthrough success listening to you.
Ken, thank you so much for taking the time to come on Breakthrough Success, and thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode. One of the things in business that people do struggle with is figuring out, you know, like, what are our priorities? What are the things we really need to be focusing on? And that's going to be what we talk about in the next episode on Breakthrough Success, so you'll definitely want to look forward to that. We're also going to talk about the work-life clash, not balance, clash, because there are a lot of people who they over-prioritize one at the cost of the other, and they feel like it's a balancing beam, while in the reality, there's a different way to approach your work and your life outside of work so you can get the best of both worlds. Those are just some of the things we're going to be talking about on the next episode of Breakthrough Success, so definitely make sure you stick around for that. Also, if you have enjoyed this episode, I would greatly appreciate if you could leave a quick review because those matter a lot for the show. Anyways, signing off, what I want you guys to do is to dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today.